This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America, with Pastor Kuldip Ganga filling in for our radio minister, Pastor Hans Overdoen. The message this time is looking at the Beatitudes with which our Lord begins the Sermon on the Mount. We now come to the last of the Beatitudes. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This beatitude is different from all the rest, in that the other seven point to a particular characteristic found in God's people. But this one tells us what will be the result of manifesting such a character as our Lord here says is characteristic of the children of the kingdom. Now you would think people who manifest such wonderful characteristics would be loved and welcomed by the world. Yet we receive a shock when we are told they would be evil spoken of and persecuted. So once again we are faced with the paradox that those who should be welcomed are instead hated, and that no less for righteousness' sake. Beloved, there are many who teach that when we follow Jesus, all will be well, and we will experience peace, health, and prosperity. Yet such ideas do not harmonize with what the Lord taught. The world indeed considers persecution and sufferings not as a sign of blessing, but of a curse. Scriptures tell us that it is not necessarily so. Let me give you two examples where this worldly attitude is illustrated. First, when Paul and his companions are shipwrecked on the island of Malta, they are welcomed by the inhabitants, who make a fire, and as Paul gathered wood and put it on the fire, a snake fastened itself on his hand. And this is what the people said when they saw it: "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." When Paul shook the snake off and suffered no ill effect, they changed their minds and said he was a god. The second example is when Jesus met a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus said, "Neither, but this is to show the glory of God." The Jews believed when the Messiah came, their years of persecution and suffering would be at an end. They would then enjoy peace and prosperity. This seems to be no different from what many preach today. Our Lord here disabuses us of any such notions. He tells us if we are faithful to Him, we will be evil spoken of and persecuted, even physically. John Blanchard, in his book on the Beatitudes, points out certain facts about persecution. Let me briefly state them. First, persecution of God's people is the best attested fact in history. A notable historian, Kenneth Scott Latourette, wrote, quote, "No other of the faiths of mankind, religious or political, has quite so extensive a record of violent and bitter opposition to its growth," end of quote. Blanchard points out that in 28 chapters of the book of Acts, we have no fewer than 56 instances of persecution. Second, persecution of one kind or another is one of God's promises to His people. Note, my friends, Jesus did not say if you are persecuted, but rather when, which means it is inevitable if you are a child of God. Let me give some scripture to show this truth. In Acts 14, verse 22, we read, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In Philippians 1, verse 29, Paul writes, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. J.C. Ryle commented, quote, persecution is like the goldsmith's hallmark on real silver and gold. It is one of the marks of a converted man, end of quote. The only way in which Christians can escape persecution is to go along with the world, is to be silent about their profession. It is to laugh with the world when they ridicule Christ and indulge in sinful pleasures. Beloved, let me ask you, are you persecuted? If not, why not? Either you are not living godly before the world, or you are not a Christian. For suffering is a gift given to all believers along with faith. Philippians 1:29. Let us look at what kind of persecution is considered to be blessed. It is not all suffering, for there are sufferings which we undergo for our own folly, or which we need to repent. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, Peter writes, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. In 1 Peter 2:19, he writes, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. The suffering which our Savior says is blessed is for righteousness' sake. These are the ones who seek to uphold God's standard of truth, justice, and purity, and refuse to compromise with paganism or bow the knee to the idols that men tend to erect as substitutes for God, writes R.G.V. Tasker. These people are determined to live according to the words of Jesus their Lord. The world, beloved, hates Christians because they highlight their sins by their very presence and honest actions. The suffering that is blessed is not only for righteousness' sake, but it is suffering for Christ's sake. Christians suffer not merely for holding some ideas, but for their relationship to Christ. The world hates Christians because their lives, when lived in righteousness, reflect Christ. The world hated Christ, and so it hates all those who remind it of Him. Such then are the reasons why Christians will suffer persecution in the world. Listen to what our Lord taught in John chapter 15, verse 18 to 20. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. How is the Christian to respond to such sufferings? The answer our Lord gives surprises us. We are to rejoice. Surely we do not rejoice in the pain, but what our suffering points to, namely that we are disciples of Christ. We rejoice because it identifies us with our Lord. You remember when Peter and John had been beaten in the council for preaching Christ? They came from such a scene rejoicing. What was the reason for it? We are told in Acts chapter 5 verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. John Blanchard, to whom I am indebted for these points, says, quote, as far as they were concerned, they counted it an honor to be dishonored, and were given grace to accept disgrace, end of quote. Not only do their sufferings identify them with Christ, their Lord and Master, but it also identifies them with the prophets. Verse 12, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Now, my friend, who does not consider it an honor when their names are mentioned among a list of famous men and women? Well, such will be the honor which God bestows on all who suffer for Christ's sake, as did the prophets. It also strengthens their assurance of salvation. Now it is of interest that in the Western world, which is very affluent, Christians suffer from lack of assurance. But this is not a problem in countries where Christians suffer for their faith. So our Lord says here, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." John Calvin wrote, quote, "Persecution are in a way seals of adoption to the children of God." End of quote. Who can tell the joy of Daniel as he was in that den with the lions when he enjoyed fellowship with the Son of God? Who can tell of the joy of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they entered the fiery furnace and found a fourth like unto the Son of Man walking with them? We can be sure they had no questions about their salvation. They knew they were there because they loved their God more than their very lives. Augustine uttered these wise words, quote, "It is not the punishment, but the cause which makes the martyr." End of quote. Jesus went on to say, "For great is your reward in heaven." As we have said in relation to other Beatitudes, the blessings are not only future, but enjoyed even now. What a joy it is to the saints to know they are forgiven and have a title to everlasting life. Now in this life they have the Spirit dwelling in them. Now they know the joy of believing. Now they know liberty in Christ from sin. Now they experience the fatherly chastisement of God. All these are blessings of the children of the kingdom. But there is a reward yet to come for all the sufferings that they have endured for righteousness' sake. It was this future reward that impelled the Old Testament saints to endure hardship, and it was the same which caused the apostles to endure it. Hebrews 11 verses 24 to 6, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul writes, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." This is especially true of those who are his ministers, for they are often in the front line as the prophets. May any servant of God who is listening today take comfort that his sufferings are not forgotten by God. A.W. Pink writes, quote, "That blessedness which worldly leaders value and crave is to be flattered and feted and honored and humored, but the felicity and glory of the officers of Christ are to be made conformable to the captain of their salvation, who was despised and rejected of men. Yet instead of being downcast over and murmuring at the hostility they meet with, ministers of the gospel are to be thankful to God for the high honor he confers upon them in making them partakers of the sufferings of his Son." End of quote. Beloved, will you be a partaker in these rewards? Only if in this life you manifest that you are a child of God by your suffering. My friend, do you ever take a stand for Christ? Does your godly life bring you into collision course with the world in which you live? If not, you need to examine your life. Remember the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Let me close with this hymn written by a minister for a friend who was also a minister who died in an accident. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh a crown of life shall be. He with the King of Glory shall reign eternally. Printed copies of this message are available free for the asking by writing to The Banner of Truth, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, BC, Canada. Postal code V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Listen again next week at this time for the Banner of Truth Radio Ministry.